80 or so years ago, during Prohibition, a man from Illinois named Philip Grossman dared to sell liquor from his place of business. A judge ordered him to stop, but Grossman, as a court would later put it, soon again sold to several persons liquor to be drunk on his premises. So the court held Grossman in contempt for violating its order. Grossman was tried on the contempt charges and convicted. But 3 years later, for reasons not made clear in anything I've read, President Warren Harding pardoned Grossman, one of 138 pardons Harding granted that year. The trial court, not to be outdone, threw Grossman in jail anyway. So Grossman asked the Supreme Court to decide just how strong a president's pardon power is. Is the president's pardon the rock that crushes scissors, or is the court's power of contempt the rock? Turns out that the president wins that game, thanks in part to this very open-ended line in the Constitution. The president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. The Supreme Court in the Grossman case decided that the word offenses includes contempt of court, and that the presidential pardon, even in that case, offers another kind of check and balance on the judiciary. The High Court's decision sprung Grossman from the Chicago House of Correction. And that outcome ultimately causes much hope to spring within those who are similarly situated, people who've been convicted of some federal crime and who, as a last resort, turn to the president for a pardon or for a lesser sentence. It's the president's call, and as the Constitution and cases interpreting it make clear, he can make that call without any guidance from anyone. Nonetheless, there's a division within the Justice Department known as the Office of the Pardon Attorney that handles most requests, because in any given year, there are well over 2,000 federal applications for pardon or commutation pending before the president. The pardon attorney warns that pardons and commutations, lessened sentences, are extremely rare, that they act as signs of forgiveness, not absolution or vindication, and that if granted, the underlying conviction isn't wiped away and still must be disclosed to anyone who asks. Critical illness and old age are listed as among the reasons that the pardon attorney might suggest that the president commute a sentence. But the regulations guiding the pardon attorney, the office's website, and congressional testimony from its leader all note that in the end, the power of the president's pardon is basically unfettered. As the Supreme Court confirmed in the Prohibition-era case of the defiant Illinois barkeep, when it comes to the separation of powers, it seems that virtually no sin is unpardonable by the president. And the justice who wrote that opinion should know. When its author, Chief Justice William Howard Taft, was president, he pardoned or commuted the sentences of nearly 750 people himself. I'm Amy Guida.